Welcome back to Detroit Rising, a podcast produced by Cranes Detroit Business. I'm Chad Livengood, Senior Editor at Cranes, and your host of this podcast. At Detroit Rising here, we're focused on the businesses and people fueling Detroit's revitalization and the challenges the city faces to sustain its turnaround. We're recording this week at One Campus Marcis, the headquarters of Dan Gilbert's Quicken Loans and several his family of companies. But before Dan Gilbert moved his mortgage company downtown here, this building was known as the CompuWare Building and home of CompuWare when the information technology company was owned and co-founded by Peter Karmanos. That was, believe it or not, 16 years ago, and a lot has changed in downtown Detroit. But this building is credited with the creation of Campus Martius. And yet, CompuWare is still here, one of the main tenants here in the building. My guest this week is CompuWare CEO Chris O'Malley, and he is here to talk about how the company has kind of progressed and what's on the horizon for this truly Detroit company. Chris, thank you for joining us here on Detroit Rising.
Chad, pleasure to be here.
I want to get a little bit of background so people who haven't followed CompuWare since what I'll call the turmoil years here, where the company went through a lot of ownership fights and essentially kind of got to a different, you came off the public exchange and you went private. Get us up to speed on where CompuWare has progressed since you became CEO 5.5 years ago.
Yeah, at the time, and this would be 6 years ago now or 7 years ago now, CompuWare kind of lost its way and lost its obsession with customers. I mean, at the end of the day, we serve at the pleasure of always beautifully and wonderfully dissatisfied customers. And when you lose sight of that, you lose sight of everything. So CompuWare was in a bad state. There was activist investors who actually came in who were looking to drive a better performance outcome for the firm. As you say, it went to being a private company. I came in at basically exactly that time. And when I came in, I saw CompuWare not as a company in a state of decline that some people thought was terminal. I saw a company that had a beautiful history, that had done a lot of great things. In more recent history, it had troubles. But I felt it to be the basis of being able to have a company reborn to support the emerging needs for, mainframe customers in the digital age and the age of software. So the company went private. That gave us an opportunity to retool the entire organization. So, we went from 50 years of, working in a method called Waterfall, which is kind of an outdated way of developing software, to adopting these new and modern techniques like you would see in startups on the West Coast and East Coast using Agile and DevOps, and started to create a pipeline of innovation that we started delivering to the market. So very, very quickly, we started outperforming what anybody thought was possible for the firm. And then over the last 3 years, or excuse me, the last 2 years, we've grown. We expect to grow again, this year in terms of revenue. So we've seen an organization that, was kind of on the mat 5 years ago is now standing up and fighting a good fight in ways that certainly satisfying our customers and doing things that are making the mainframe market to be reborn.
You're satisfying your customers. Are you making a profit and satisfying your investors?
Yeah. So we we are growing in single digits, and we've done it in a way that really embraces lean methods. So when I came here, I had actually formerly been a startup CEO, and I learned how to take $1 and make it into $100 when you're burning cash and you're trying to make some idea come true within the market. So the thesis that I brought here was, not only to create, a pipeline of innovation, but to look at every piece of the company and figure out how to get it in this kind of new age state. So, with marketing as an example, we are heavily engaged in using techniques like social media to get the word of CompuWare to every corner of the planet and engage in those customers in a conversation about how to modernize their mainframe and what you have to do to embrace Agile and DevOps and why our tooling is so important. Our G&A functions, our finance functions, as an example, most very large enterprise, hope to get to 5% of cost for G&A relative to, revenue. We're effectively at that measure. And there's companies that are 20 times our size that can't achieve it. you know, our development staff, you know, when I came here, obviously the question always comes up at the outset, should you outsource? Should you outsource development and product management? And, you know, I'm a big believer that, you know, proximity matters when you're innovating things. And, you know, working together with an engaged employee base is critical to creating innovation. So we've outsourced nothing. And, you know, we've used the fact that we're all here in Detroit, as an unfair advantage in competing in the marketplace, because our capacity to invent and, you know, take ideas that matter to customers and turn them into deliverables that make a difference, we, you know, we have a massive unfair advantage because we're all here in this building working together every day. Mm-hmm. You know, so on the sales side, you know, we've used, you know, modern techniques. So again, across the entire company, we've used lean principles to actually create a degree of profitability that's shocking for a company of our size, and we're growing at the same time. So, yeah, so I think you know, certainly our shareholders are happy. I mean, we're achieving things that, you know, Thoma Bravo, our principal investor, thought impossible 5 years ago. But we're also doing it at a situation where we're growing, which just means we're creating more opportunities for the employees here, and we're obviously answering the call of our customers.
How many employees are here now?
We never give the number out. Okay. There's more than the day that I started, and the workforce is transitioning. You know, is you know, we as people retire here. I mean, we have a very, very low turnover and a very high employee engagement. I mean, there's a Gallup survey that's done every couple of years that gives a gauge of employee engagement within the marketplace, and they've done it for 40 years. And it's the thing that's astonishing about it is it never changes. So in large organizations, on average, a third of the employees are engaged, half are unengaged, and 17% are actively disengaged. They actually try to sabotage the efforts of the companies they work for. So, you know, two-thirds of the company effectively works against change. At Compuware, where our engagement score is something like 67%. So low turnover, very high employee engagement has really been a bastion of innovation for the company in terms of what we've been able to achieve.
But when they moved in here in 2003, there was like 3,000-4,000 Compuware employees, right?
I don't actually know the total at the time.
But the building was full.
It was full. And Compuware is not as it was then. So, you know, when the private equity firm, before the private equity firm came in, there was a divestiture of a number of assets. There was companies that Compuware had acquired that actually got spun out, either bought by other PE firms or actually went through an IPO. The remaining two pieces were Dynatrace and Compuware, and then those, in fact, were split. Okay. So we are just the mainframe component of what was Compuware, which is the genesis of the company. That's how it started. So it's not the same thing. It's not an apples-to-apples comparison.
Okay, yeah, but it's back to its roots, just being focused on the mainframe.
And mainframe software tools.
Somewhere, and I have limited education about this subject, so help me through this.
Sure.
When you hear about businesses, hey, we're transitioning to the cloud, and we're trying to get out of our mainframe, what is your advice to businesses, or what's the sell, I guess, that mainframe technology remains something that all businesses ought to have?
You know, I don't want to get too technical with you, but the cloud and the mainframe are actually not competitive with one another. They actually serve, you know, two different architectural purposes.
Okay, now you're already correcting my knowledge.
Yeah. So when I came in here, and then maybe we're a good way to help you understand it. When I came here, and actually I can show you the data center after we're done with the interview. But when I came in here, we've got a huge data center here. And, you know, the data center has mainframes in it, and it has distributed compute resources. And in 2014, I just, as a startup CEO that looked at things in a very lean way, I just didn't think it made any sense for us to have distributed compute that we managed internally, and that we were better off going with cloud-consumed services. So using AWS or Azure or consumed applications like Salesforce.com or Workday or NetSuite. So we had a parting of the Red Sea. So everything that we believe would give us a competitive advantage in serving our customers, we did that work on the mainframe. Everything that didn't give us a competitive advantage, like, you know, doing finance functions. Customers don't care what, you know, what general ledger we use. I mean, they could care less. I mean, they care about the products that we support. Mm-hmm. Everything that doesn't give us an unfair advantage, we actually consume as cloud services. So if you go in our data center right now, we've taken out, I think, 13 tons of equipment. What's left, effectively, is just the two mainframes. So we effectively run CompuAir on the mainframe and the cloud and use their respective digital virtues to the best extent possible. The mainframe does certain things better than the cloud. The cloud does things better than the mainframe, but the combination is unbeatable. And that's where you see when you look at, you know, large banks, large insurance companies, you know, airlines, that, you know, the back-end transactional systems that run those companies are running on mainframes. You know, the apps that you use to, you know, book a flight or, you know, get a seat assignment, those are usually either the cloud or distributed environments. So the work is done in a collaborative way between those two different platforms. So, you know, smart organizations are using, again, the unique strengths of the mainframe in combination with the unique strengths of the clouds. What cloud really competes against is managing internal distributed infrastructure, because, you know, that is a one-for-one comparison. And in this day and age, I think it's a fool's errand to try to do that better than AWS or NetSuite or Salesforce.com.
You couldn't possibly try to reinvent that wheel.
No, it's, I mean, they provide a cheaper, a better, faster, cheaper service than you possibly could do for yourself. Now, in the case of the mainframe, there isn't the equivalent of that. I mean, you can't buy a mainframe cloud service that's better than what you would do internally. There's not the arbitrage. But certainly, you know, we saved, you know, $6 million a year by taking our distributed workloads that we ran it internally and then going to cloud-consumed services. And it's not only cheaper, it's better and faster. So, again, the cloud has a place, an essential place, as you try to compete in the age of software, but it's not one that competes against the mainframe. It's really the two of them that give you an unfair advantage.
As you kind of look forward 3 to 5 years from now, what's this company look like? What's your growth trajectory? What are some industries that you're trying to, you know, get a foothold into serving?
Yeah, our success is that, you know, mainframe customers, which are the largest companies in the world. I mean, they're the Fortune 2000. The mainframe still dominates as the platform for systems of record processing. Those companies are having to compete in the digital age, right? If, you know, the banks that you use as a consumer, you know, you care about the features that they deliver. I mean, and if Schwab does it better than your local bank, you know, you're tempted to switch, and you can switch relatively easily. So these,
especially since Google and Amazon want to become your wallet.
And Alibaba is, you know, I mean, there's some things in the United States that make it more difficult for, you know, these other parties to become banks. There's some thresholds they have to get over. But in Alibaba, I mean, your money never leaves Alibaba. You get a paycheck. It's deposited in Alibaba. You buy stuff from Alibaba. So you're, it's like the old Kohler communities in Chicago, or in Wisconsin, or the Pullman district of Chicago way back when, that the money actually never leaves Kohler or Pullman. I mean,
or bars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah, everything is owned by the incumbent, I guess.
Yeah.
So those threats force them to have to respond. Big doesn't beat small anymore. It's fast beats slow. So they have to adopt techniques at these large banks that are just like a startup. And those techniques, you know, are called things like agile rather than waterfall, DevOps, which is intrinsic automation rather than selective automation. Those are the methods that they have to adopt to be able to respond to their customers' demands and keep them satisfied in a world where that satisfaction is only as good as what you did yesterday. I mean, it's constantly getting better and made better by a lot of these tech companies that are obviously converging into traditional places that they normally wouldn't have, like banking and software or insurance. So we help those customers to bring Agile and DevOps to the mainframe so that they can get the feature velocity, you get the level of innovation to consumers to keep them happy, keep them in a state where they're satisfied and continue to do more business with them. So that's the opportunity for us. And, you know, we can grow at double digits for probably a decade within that opportunity.
Chris, you said that you don't have a lot of turnover. You got people who've been with this company for 20, 30 years. They're retiring.
40 years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they go back way back. when you are filling jobs, what type of challenges, if any, are you facing in recruiting talent, especially when you're in a building like this where you're probably competing with your landlord and a few other of the neighbors for some of that IT talent?
Well, initially when I came, it was difficult to recruit. I mean, the image of CompuWare was not good in Detroit at the time. I remember we sent out an ad for, you know, a job posting, and some mother sent me an email back saying, you know, CompuWare is a place that mothers don't send their children. I mean, it was, so the image was...
Some people say about newspapers.
But, you know, we have done a really good job of starting to, you know, recruit at college campuses. You know, we're looking for computer scientists, computer engineers. You know, we got a cadre in, you know, 5 years ago now that basically became the catalyst that have helped them become ombudsmen and ambassadors to these universities. So, you know, we're recruiting obviously locally to Michigan-based universities, but we go as far as Northern Illinois and University of Illinois. And as more and more have come in, you know, they start to see, you know, Detroit for what it is. It's a beautiful downtown. It's a vibrant city. It's getting better each and every, you know, literally every quarter in terms of the nature of it. It's becoming kind of the next Pittsburgh, or, you know. So they've become basically a core group now that's done a fantastic job of basically getting us more and more strong talent within the firm. And, you know, we're looking for very, very technical people. Computer engineering is kind of step beyond computer science, which is different than what you would see at some of the other, you know, companies around here. So we're looking for some deep technical skills. And, you know, I'm proud of the fact that as we've kind of nurtured, you know, our employee engagement and gotten the environment here to be better and better for these folks, you know, not only are we keeping the people that we've had historically, which is awesome, we've actually had people that retired that have actually come back to work here because they got bored, which I think is, you know, showing, you know, the kind of nature of what we've created in CompuWare is an awesome place to work, kind of a new age startup and exciting things that are going on. But, you know, as we're getting new people from colleges, them coming here, staying and starting to progress in the organization. You know, most of our Scrum Masters, as an example, which is kind of a step up above a developer, were in college dorms 5 years ago. You know, we have a development man. One of our senior development managers here was in a college dorm 6 years ago. I mean, so these people are escalating into, you know, responsibility that's awesome to see. And is becoming kind of the new face of the company. So that's all goodness.
As you got people who have retired and then they get bored and they want to go back to work, are you creating some opportunities for them to work part-time? I kind of wonder about this with just the onslaught of boomers retiring 10,000 a day or whatever it is in Michigan, finding ways for them to maybe transition into you know, life after work, but still have some you know, continued skill sets and continued engagement in the workforce.
Yeah, we do allow for you know, a shorter work week for people that have come back, but we're also very disciplined in the way we work. I mean, you gotta plug into the way CompuWare does stuff. So we don't allow a virtual workforce, and that's always you know, if you look in the world, everybody, you know, wants to work from home, but. And all of us would prefer that, but when you're mindful of the fact that we only work at the pleasure and service of our customers, and when you're trying to invent new things to serve those customers, proximity matters, communication matters, thinking about ideas and brainstorming matters, you know, trial and error matters, and all of these things drive you to the necessity of working together. So sure. Even though it's a shorter work week, they're still working within the ideals of what has made us successful. You know, we if I look at, you know, some of the, you know, the key foundation items that have made us successful, certainly employee engagement, but, you know, the fact that we all are in Detroit and we've worked together, you know, we're, you know, learning together, we're experimenting together, we're failing together, we're succeeding together. That has been a huge part of what has made us successful. And had we deviated from kind of any of those tenets at the outset, I think, you know, we probably would have been more like we were 6 years ago than what we are today.
Sure. If you let someone work from home in Troy, you might as well be outsourcing it to Mumbai or India or somewhere.
There's some truth to that. But it's your you know, again, we just had a town hall here, so I'm on this point. I mean, we only exist at the pleasure and service of our customers, and our customers are always wonderfully and beautifully dissatisfied, and that in that dissatisfaction that presents an opportunity for us to invent new and better ways. And we can't do that in our basement in Troy. I mean, we got to work together. These problems are too difficult. These challenges are too, you know, hard to bring to market. So, you know, I think we're proof. And it's interesting, our customers that have outsourced and are struggling now to maintain the level of innovation are actually coming here to Detroit to see how we work and try to re-justify bringing people back on shore and putting them into, you know, collective locations and turning back kind of the virtual workforce. I mean, I'm sure people's teeth out there are grinding as I say that, but I mean, at the end of the day, you got to care about your company, and you got to care about your company's success. I mean, you know, you can't be just actively disengaged and try to sabotage its efforts. You got to be engaged in making it better. Because, as I tell people here at CompuWare, I mean, this moment right now is on loan to the future, right? And we got to care about that future, right? And all of us have to be invested in ways that, if you've been here for 40 years, you got to create an opportunity for the guy that starts tomorrow to have the exact same 40-year opportunity. And you know, we're going to achieve that through innovation and working together and collaborating and get smarter together. So that's a big part of our success.
Chris, kind of a final point here. As a sort of name brand business in Michigan, and as a leader of this company, what do you see going on as the state's future trajectory, or there's some public policy issues out there that you think that our leaders need to be focused on to help a company like you and other companies around you and the ones that you work for, be here 10, 20 years from now?
Yeah, so, you know, in this digital age where, you know, consumers, you know, increasingly are looking through, you know, the internet or, you know, their cell phone as a method of doing business, right? It's whether you're buying insurance, you're buying a book, you have a expectation in terms of your behaviors now that you know, requires software in virtually everything that you buy or do. So if you go forward 50 years, I mean, you know, if you have a major metropolitan area that doesn't have a degree of computer engineers, computer software people being produced, that basically can suck up the demand or the demand within that marketplace, whether you're an insurance company, a mortgage company, whatever it is, you're going to lose the core businesses within that downtown area. So, you know, I would really push all government officials to think, how do we get the University of Michigan and Michigan State to be at the top of the ladder as it relates to computer science, computer engineering, and that making sure there's a flow of employment for those people into, you know, the Detroit area, get those people to stay, not leave. I would also encourage them to recruit externally. I mean, I think, you know, the exercise that we went through trying to get Amazon to come here with their HQ2, even though we know Detroit as being this beautiful and wonderful thing, I mean, perception rules, right? If you go to anybody in Iowa or Wichita or California, their image of Detroit is substantially different than the realities that exist today. So you got to market this city, and you got to market the city nationally as a draw for the opportunities here and the nature of living that's here. That's a wonderful place. So I would really encourage them to make sure that we're producing computer science majors, computer engineers, and make sure that they're working to sell, especially Detroit. I mean, every state needs a beautiful, wonderful city that's a kind of a beacon to it. Detroit certainly is the one for Michigan, and they need to get this, marketing the beauty of what it is in a much greater way and more aggressive way.
Chris O'Malley with CompuWare, thank you for joining us here on the Detroit Rising podcast.
Thank you very much, Chad.
I'm Chad Livengood, Senior Editor at Crane's Detroit Business. You've been listening to Detroit Rising. If you're listening to this podcast on SoundCloud, please subscribe to the Crane's Detroit Business iTunes channel or wherever you get your podcasts.